Welcome to the Heavy Town Ghost Talk on All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Welcome back to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. I'm Mike.
And this is Jeff.
And we are here.
Oh, come on. We had it going there. You were talking.
We did. And ran out.
It's like you had something planned there and ruined it.
I
you
just
should start over or something.
I was just trying to be enthusiastic. And I was. But tonight we do have some great guests coming on. Katie and Becca Boyd. There's another guest right there. Becca Boyd is, I think everyone out there knows who these people are, but Becca Boyd is a demonologist, she's not. She's a psychic medium, and Katie Boyd is a demonologist. So I think they kind of work together and stuff, and we'll be talking to them.
So explain to me exactly what a psychic medium is. Is this the ones that speak with the dead?
Medium is the ones that speak with the dead, yes. And psychic is the people who read people's energies, I guess.
So a psychic medium is someone who can read a dead person's mind?
No, a psychic medium is someone who can do the psychic stuff and speak or talk to the spirits of those that are passed away.
So there is a difference between a medium and a psychic medium.
There is a difference. I believe there is a difference between a medium and a psychic medium. I think a psychic medium has more abilities than just a medium. But that would be a good question for her, because I'm not 100% sure.
Well, you're supposed to know this. I'm supposed to go into this interview prepared.
Did you just say I'm supposed to know this because you're supposed to come into it prepared?
Right. So I ask you here on the air so everyone can hear. And then.
So you don't get prepared before we go on the air. You get prepared while we're on the air. I sent you a bunch of stuff in Skype about who they are.
I did read about all about who they are, but I'm still not entirely clear on what a psychic medium is. How about demonologists? Can you help me out with demonologists?
Demonologist is exactly what they say. They study demons.
So how does that work? Do they work with exorcists and things like that? Like, I don't know if we didn't have a demonologist on before, but we had somebody who would work with demonologists, and it sounds like the people that he would work with would be those people who worked with possessions and things like that.
A demonologist, from what I know of, for the most part, they are not exorcists themselves, but they work on cases. From what I understand, oftentimes they do work on the cases that end up going to an exorcist. But a demonologist can bless a house, and they, I guess you could say, have more control over the environment and know how to handle a demon.
So you say bless a house. Does that mean that demonologists are necessarily religious? And if so, what religion do they follow?
I think a demonologist has to be religious. I think you have to be religious to believe in a demon.
But I guess you said bless the houses, so... So how do they bless the houses? Through a Christian type of thing? Or is this like just a general blessing type of thing?
I don't think it's necessarily a Christian blessing. I think anyone can bless a house. Crystal says anyone can bless a house. So I don't think it's necessarily you have to be a certain religion. I'm not 100% sure on that myself.
Well, I was always under the impression that blessings were a Christian type of thing.
I think blessings are nothing more than a prayer. And basically a prayer for protection for the house or for the people.
So I just insulted every other religion except for Christians? thinking that? No,
I don't think you insulted anybody. You're asking an honest question. I don't think a lot of people know that. I think there are demonologists out there who don't know what demonology is. There, I probably just insulted a few people, but I think there are a lot of demonologists out there that don't really know what demonology is, and they say that because that's the cool thing to do now.
So I remember before when we were talking with the guy, I don't know if he was a demonologist himself or if he was a guy who worked with demonologists, but this was the type of ghost that you talk about that... that they tell you that you should actually be afraid of. These are the ones that can actually hurt you, that could, I guess, take over your mind and things like that. And you know my outlook on ghosts. Like, I would love my house to be haunted. That would be really cool. And then people bring up the whole demon thing, and it doesn't seem quite as cool. So I'm not a big fan of demons, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at here.
Well, I think demons are so rare, it's probably not something you would have to worry about unless you set out to make your house possessed, so to speak. I mean, from my understanding is if you work in the field for 20 years, you might be lucky if you see five demonic, truly demonic cases. Because there's a difference between a demon and just a mean ghost.
But it just seems that these demons are, like, really, really bad.
Yes, that I would agree with.
Like, it doesn't seem worth it to risk. Like I'm not really... I still want my house to be haunted. I really want my house to be haunted, and I'm not really concerned that in my efforts to haunt my own house, I'm going to get hurt by some demon. But I don't know, it seems an entirely different type of phenomenon than just a ghost. Like ghosts, they're creepy, but demons, they're hurtful, they're aggressive, is my understanding.
A demon is not a ghost. At least this is what I believe. I don't know if everyone thinks this, but a demon is, or at one point was, an angel. So a demon is not necessarily the same thing as a ghost, which was more often than not a human spirit, or is a human spirit.
So is it the general consensus that demons were never human? Is that,
yes.
Is that the definition of a demon, according to the...
It depends on who you ask, where you look.
Well, let's ask a demonologist. They seem like they should know.
The demonologists I've asked, they say it's a fallen angel, just like the Bible would tell you. But I've also talked to people who say a demon is just an inhuman spirit, not necessarily an angel.
But is there anyone who says that it's a human spirit that's just really, really angry?
Not that I have ever talked to.
Some sort of superpower or something like that.
I don't think that's possible. I don't think a human spirit can be a demon. It'd just be a malevolent spirit.
So you say that it's a fallen angel and other people believe that. So are these demons only things that Catholics believe in? Or do Christians believe in angels? It's saints that Protestants don't believe in. I was completely off base. It's been a while.
Christians believe in demons. I mean, Christian is more than just Catholics. So the Christians do. I'm not 100% sure what the Protestant beliefs are.
But what about, like Hindus or Buddhists or things like that? Do they just completely not believe in these demonic entities, or do they have their own understanding of what they are? Do they have their own angels? I really don't know my religious history, and I'm sounding like an idiot, I'm sure, but
Well, I don't know for the ones you just named, but I know in the Wiccan religion, they do not believe in demons. They do not believe there's a such thing as hell or heaven. It's just multiple, I guess you could say, planes.
So how would the a witch, a Wiccan, explain a demonic haunting?
As a malevolent spirit,
I guess, how do you know the different? I know these are questions that we should be asking the demonologist guest, but how do you tell the difference between a angry human entity and one of these demonic entities that were never human?
From what I've learned on my other show, it has to do with strength and smell.
Smell?
True demon smells very foul. Just very putrid. That they have a particular scent to them that is much worse than a regular demon. Chris in the chat room said that there is a belief in demon in all the religions, such as Egyptian, Buddhist, Jewish, Muslim.
But is there a belief in angels, I guess is what I was asking, because you said that the demons are the fallen angels.
We will find out what he says.
So we gotta wait for our 30-second delay here to get the answer to that.
Continue the conversation.
Well, we should probably go to our commercials and go to our guest.
Okay.
Do we want to have our contest today?
Is it any good?
It's actually pretty good.
The same person that always wins, it's going to win again.
Maybe. Well, for those of you who don't know, we have a contest every week that really doesn't matter in the end, but I have fun with it. I kind of have fun with it. But I have a calendar on my desk that's a This Day in History calendar, and I like to quiz the people out there in the chat room and see if they can come up with what happened this day in history according to my calendar. So on March 22nd, sometime in the 19th century, this happened for the first time. And whoever gets it can get a free commercial next week on Miami Town Ghost Talk. And let's go to commercial.
Alrighty. You've been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Be right back.
Do you need a website? Get WebGuy. With over 10 years experience with website design, WebGuy knows how to make what you need. With expertise in all major programming techniques, WebGuy can get your site up and running in no time. Need custom graphics? No problem. Chat rooms, bulletin boards, interactive calendars, streaming audio and video, WebGuy does it all. For your website design needs, email webguy@gemwebdesigns.com. Once again, that is webguy@gemwebdesigns.com.
Join the crew from NKYPS for Paranormal Outreach Radio every Wednesday night at 9:30 Eastern, kicking off the Paranormal Powerhouse lineup. Mike, Matt, and Crystal turning up the heat with a variety of guests from the paranormal community. There'll be fun, laughter, and a bit of information dealing with the paranormal issues. Join us every Wednesday night at 9:30 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
History states that the paranormal activity has been around for many years. Recently, since the new millennium, it seems it has been on the rise. We at Tri-State Paranormal are here to help people with their fears and their concerns. We don't charge for our services. If you feel like you have some strange activity going on in your home, please give us a call or go to our website at www.tspnorthernkentucky.com. We're here to help you.
Hi, I'm John Kachuba, the Ghost Hunter, and you're listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk Radio.
And we're back on Miami Town Ghost Talk. And we are getting ready to call Katie and Becca Boyd, a demonologist and psychic medium. And I am talking, and Jeff is not.
You know how hard it is for me to work the tech stuff. I'm getting there. So are you going to say hi when we call? We'll go with that.
Alright, you just like to make fun of me when I stumble over my words.
I do, it's very funny.
Yeah, well, I'll be nice.
Hello?
Hello, is this Katie or Becca?
This is Becca.
How are you doing? This is Mike with Miami Town Ghost Talk.
Good, how are you?
Pretty good, and I'm on the line with Jeff.
Hello. How are you this evening?
Hey, you got Katie and Becca here.
All right. We were actually discussing before we got you guys on the line exactly what it is that you guys do, and I heard that Katie, I believe, is a psychic medium. Is that true?
No.
The other one.
Oh, I got
backwards. Don't deal with anything with the psychic part. No, Katie's the demonologist, and I'm Becca. I'm the psychic medium.
Okay, I apologize.
Don't be. No problem.
Flip that around. So what exactly is a psychic medium? Like, I'm under the impression that a medium is someone who speaks with the dead. A psychic is someone who sees energies or sees something in the living, I guess. So what exactly is a psychic medium?
Done, kid. You're good. A psychic is somebody who has clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, which means to feel, to see, to hear, abilities. So I do see energy. I'm also an animal communicator. I do talk with spirits as well. So, you know, because of the combination of abilities that are there, I call myself a psychic medium versus just a psychic or a medium. But most of what I do, especially when I work with Katie, is the medium part. I talk to the spirits when we're on investigations and try to help validate the haunting by going into a place completely cold and not coming through, of course, you know, with any prior knowledge. I will then read the spirits or read the home in the area and, you know, kind of give my two cents as to what I see, feel, or hear there. And, you know, it helps to validate the haunting. I've been working with Katie for, gosh, well over 10 years now, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, with her, you know, we co-founded Ghost Quest, which is a paranormal organization based out of New Hampshire. And, you know, it's really kind of grown since then. I've been working with her, like I said, for a little over 10 years now, and, you know, it's been wonderful.
So how exactly does it work, I guess, like, as someone who's not a psychic medium, like, what exactly is it that you feel or see or whatnot when you're in these places, or is this something that's impossible to explain to a lay person?
I'm not going to say it's impossible to explain because it's really not. When I walk into a place, let me see. The process that I go through is, you know, I'll sit there and, you know, I'll just sit in the home or sit in the area for a little bit and just kind of be. And what happens is I'll get impressions, okay? It's kind of like, how do I explain that? I don't know how to explain it other than just impressions, but I'll get impressions from the area. You know, there is that thing, residual energy, which is, oh my gosh, you know, the energy on replay and all that. But, you know, with spirits, usually when they come through, the first thing they come through with, for me, is how they passed. And it's not a matter of, okay, well, I had a heart attack. It's, okay, well, here, I'm going to put the feelings on you. Here you go. And so I'll get the feelings of having a heart attack. I remember one place that we did, actually out of Manchester, which, of course, I didn't know anything beforehand, but I walked into one room, and I literally started shaking so badly and feeling so woozy. I felt like I was going to pass out for a minute. And I saw a man standing in the corner. Now, for some spirits, I may not see them in full manifestation right off the bat. You know, for some spirits, it takes more energy for them to manifest to me or to anybody else. And with this person, I saw them literally sitting in the corner with a needle on their arm. And I said to them, I said, was this a crack house? You know, what the heck is going on here? And they actually said that, yeah, it was at one point back in the 70s, it was a drug den, basically. And, you know, a lot of people had died there because of that. So, you know, it's a very intense thing to go through. And, you know, it's kind of interesting and helpful. And at the same time, you know, everybody's like, oh, psychics, how does it work? You know, all this other stuff. I have no idea how it works. I don't know, you know, how to explain how to become a medium except to practice at it and to work with it, how to trust yourself. I mean, that's huge. You know, am I crazy or am I psychic? I have no idea.
Well, in fact, you even, you know, you tell even your everyday clients.
I do.
I mean, we all have the ability to a certain point.
Right.
You know, I know, like, for me, you know, growing up in a severe haunted house, you know, I would, you know, at first be like, hey, you know, there's something not right here. And, you know, like most of us, our parents, no, it's your, you know, it's you know, in your head, you're just imagining things like that.
Right.
And it actually is shutting, you know, our abilities off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but for, you know, people like Becca, who's a sixth-generation psychic medium,
right.
And it, you know, her mother's a professional psychic medium, and it goes on and on with the women in her family. But I have to say, you know, coming from, I'm not a psychic medium, and, you know, Becca is basically, I hope this doesn't sound wrong, but she's like a tool
mm-hmm.
in our toolbox.
Exactly.
And we bring her in the beginning, and she does a complete walkthrough. Now, we don't base everything on Becca, because after Becca actually does the walkthroughs, you know, we sit down with the client, and the client, you know, they can come along during the whole walkthrough, and they're validating or not validating whatever Becca is saying. And we actually look it up all through the histories. We try to validate everything.
Right.
And then we actually, like all the other paranormal groups out there, you know, we have all our scientific equipment. You know, I mean, Becca and I, especially being in the field, me, over 21 years, you have to be very, very skeptical. No matter what case it is, you have to see the proof.
Right.
You know?
Right. And, you know, I always say that, you know, there are spirits everywhere. There's spiritual energy everywhere. That doesn't mean a place is haunted. You know, I mean, you can have spirits, family members, you know, checking in on you from time to time. It doesn't make it haunted. It just, you know, means
right.
that you have people around you. You know, that
right.
doesn't mean anything. But what we look for is, you know, when I go through and I do a walkthrough, what I'm looking for is malicious energy or, you know, traumatic energy or, you know, something that makes you go, ooh, okay, that's just not right. You know?
So when you're doing that walkthrough, are you using specifically your psychic abilities or specifically your mediumship, or are they kind of like one in this? What do they both work together?
Well, I think that, you know, primarily when I do my walkthrough, if there's disruptive energy and I can't tell on a mediumistic level if it's spirit or not, then I'll go with my psychic ability. I'll start to kind of feed into the energy a little bit, kind of look at it and, you know, analyze it, as it were. Is it something that's residual? Because that's happened before, where I've sat there and, you know, I think for a second, okay, I think I'm tapping into a spirit, and then nope, it's not. It's not. It's residual energy, and it won't interact. And, you know, so for me, again, like Katie said, I'm just a tool. You know, I really am. I'm just a tool in the paranormal arsenal there. You know, and they don't put a whole investigation around me. They want to see what happens and, you know, what other stuff takes place. Because just because that I say spirits are there does not mean, again, like I said, that it's haunted.
Is this something that's dangerous for you? I know you mentioned earlier, like, somebody dies of a heart attack, you feel pain in your chest or something. Is this something that ever ends up being dangerous for you? And And I hope to get more into this when we talk about demonology a little later. But just as a psychic, are these feelings anything that could cause harm to you?
You know, it's funny because usually when I validate it, when I say, okay, I get it, you know, you've had a heart attack or whatever, the feelings release because they've been acknowledged. And so for me, I've learned some psychic protection practices over the years because of my upbringing. Again, I'm a sixth generation psychic medium, so I was born into this. You know, so I've learned how to adapt to it. I haven't found anything that's put me in a state of danger when it comes to spirit yet. I mean, they can get, you know, kind of cranky, you know, but, you know, I've never been completely harmed by a spirit. I do know that when I was younger, you know, yeah, I had some moments where I thought, you know, maybe I was, you know, getting too into, you know, getting in touch with spirits. And I was working as, you know, getting into the transmediumship, which is completely different than, say, myself as I work now, which is just as kind of the in-between. When you're a trans medium, you're actually letting that spirit in.
So it's like channeling.
It is. It is channeling. And so you're letting that spirit in, so you're putting yourself in a little bit more danger than you would, especially if you don't know. For those paranormal investigators who feel they're sensitive or know they're sensitive or know they're psychic, if you don't know what you're opening up, you know, you don't know what you're inviting in, you're putting yourself in danger, you know. So if you go in there and just say, okay, whoever's here, talk to me, you know, you're like a big-ass, excuse my language, you're like a big foghorn, you know, and spirits not just from that property and not just from those people are going to come. You know, you're going to get spirits from other places nearby coming, going, oh, somebody can hear me, somebody can hear me, somebody can hear me. So, you know, you've got to be really, really careful. And being a medium at times can kind of be like being a Ouija board if you don't know what you're doing. So, you know, yeah, there's the potential for danger there if you don't know how to handle it or if you haven't had some sort of training or upbringing, you know, that has allowed you to kind of learn the ins and outs in a safe way.
I guess that's just something that kind of interests me because I guess I'm still relatively new to the field. I heard somebody say that they were in the field for 21 years, and I've been maybe in the fields for, I guess, 6 years now. Is that right, Mike?
About that.
But still, I'm still of that mindset that I want to go out and I want to really experience firsthand one of these mm-hmm. ghosts. And I hear the people say the Ouija board that's dangerous to use because you don't know what you're opening up. And I guess I'm still in the mindset that I would kind of be interested to see what I could open up. And yeah. I guess the whole demon thing is the thing that kind of, I don't want to say makes me shy away from it or anything, but when I mention this philosophy to people, they're like, you don't know what you're cooking up. These demons, they can get into your head, they can they can mess with you. So what exactly is a demon from the point of view of a demonologist?
Well, first of all, okay, demonic cases are very, very rare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, they, out of my over 21 years, I've had 7 true demonic cases, okay? And they're very rare. I can't stress enough about how rare, you know, demonic hauntings are. Possession is even more rare, okay? But, as, you know, being a demonologist, what a lot of people don't understand, number one, you're on 24/7. You never have a day off, okay? Most of the cases I deal with, okay, I get the people like, I have a demon or a demonic entity or, you know, I feel like I'm being possessed. I have a demonic entity in my home. After like a full evaluation, I'm sitting down with a client, you know, I go through a whole medical evaluation. I mean, it goes on and on and on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is, I deal with a lot of the medical and psychological issues, okay? There's a lot of people out there, say, schizophrenia, and I'll get that call 3 o'clock in the morning. I have a demon inside me, and, you know, on and on and on. And unfortunately, I notice a lot nowadays, people are more, you know, going for the demon thing. Like, the demon is the in thing. Years ago, it used to be psychics were the big thing. Then it used to be spirits are the in thing. Now it's demonic entities. And unfortunately, you know, I do feel that's a lot put out there by the media, you know, TV shows, things like that. You can't always believe, you know, there's a demonic haunting every second or every moment of the day.
So these cases that aren't real demons, is it more...
There's a lot of medical issues. You know, I deal with a lot of sleeping disorders. You know, people claiming they have a demon, the demon is sitting on them, the demon is raping them, choking them. I've heard almost pretty much everything. I've heard the demon is in my soda can and he's talking back at me. You know, but, you know, the thing what's really great, any demonologist or somebody who's interested in the demonology field or becoming a demonologist, you need to build your network of people, okay? Like, you know, we work with sleep labs, psychologists, doctors, and if the person can't get the professional or medical help that they need in their area, we go further and find them the help that they need.
Right, and the thing is what is a demon? You know, if you feel or believe in the theory that the world is binary and therefore based on polarity, mm-hmm. where there's good, there must be evil.
It's like that with people. Everybody's got a good side, everybody's got a bad side.
Right, and so does the world. You know, it has its good side and it has its bad side, you know. Sure. But the thing of it is with demonic entities, you know, from a psychic medium's point of view, this is Becca, you know, it's a matter of a collective negative energy. That's it. That's what it seems to be to me, okay? Because when I have done, you know, demonic cases with Katie, I never see
the
demonic entity in full
form.
No, I've never seen one with big horns and a tail and a drooly mouth. I haven't seen that. And honestly, you know, you talk about the Ouija board. I've used a Ouija board since I was, 7 years old. And honestly, I've never had a demonic entity in my house.
Well, you know, there's a lot of different theories with the Ouija board, but, you know, I'm going to do my own little viewpoint on it. Okay? You know, with demonic entities, they have to be invited in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And unfortunately, the Ouija board does not come with instructions. We all know that. Okay? It's basically, you know, it's a tool. It's like what Becca said. You know, it's like being a psychic or a psychic medium. You know, you got to know, you know, how to, you know, like use the bubbling technique, which Becca can explain, because that's really good even if you're a paranormal investigator. You know, so don't forget that. Can you give them the bubbling technique?
You will. I put it in my notes.
Okay. But, you know, you can say a prayer. Whatever your religious belief is, before you play the Ouija board, you know, say a prayer first. You know, say something, you know, I'm only allowing, you know, positive spirits to come in. You know, no negative spirits are allowed, or whatever the case that you want to say. Or practice, you know, like the white light surrounding all of you. You know, but, I mean, a lot of people confuse, like, a demonic entity coming through when, like, the planchette is spinning really fast. That's actually a different spirit changing and coming through. If your planchette starts dragging on the board, you're not protecting yourself, and you need to put that board away.
Right.
Okay, because that's a sign that's something negative. Now, I'm not talking demonic entities. It could be a negative spirit. It could be a jerk that was alive who passed, and he wants to come through. You know?
So,
right.
So what about those of us who want to meet those spirits and catch their voice
then
on
you
a
go for
recorder?
It.
Well, you're eventually going to be calling people like us.
Going, okay, I met him. Now can you get rid of him?
So what exactly, you know, is the danger, I guess? Like, what's the worst that can happen?
The worst that can happen if you play with a Ouija board. Let me see here.
Well, if you're not protected, there is a 50-50 chance you're opening a portal to something you don't understand or know.
Right.
You are actually saying, hey, everybody, come on in. You know, no matter what you are, you're welcome. Come on.
For example, we had, you know, one case, since we're on Ouija boards, we had one case where a woman was in a state of demonic oppression for over, oh, Lord, how long, 25 years, did you say? 23. She was obsessed with the Ouija board. She would play it for 16 hours a day. Okay? And one of the things that you first look for in any demonic case is a case of obsession, like that. And she said that there were times, and she had never read any book,
no,
you know, about demonic entities. We looked all through her house. There was nothing there, you know. But she had said that the board at times would smell like feces. She also said that they were more honest to her than God was. She said a lot of very blasphemous things in her religion that I don't even think she realized she was saying that were really blasphemous, but
it was making her crazy.
It was. It was making her totally crazy. And it wasn't her who got in touch with us. It was her sister. And that's one thing I want to let people know here. Usually when somebody is having a demonic oppression or even a demonic possession, they're not going to be the ones to call you. Okay?
No.
It's going to be a family member. Because the entities, once they are in there, yeah, they're not going to let anybody out from under their thumb. They're really not. A lot of times it's going to be a relative or a friend. You know, but things like, you know, schizophrenia, things like, you know, the sleeping disorders like Katie was talking about, those can all be misconstrued as your spirits or even demons, you know?
Well, I've seen a lot of exorcists out there, not the real legit ones. I'm talking, unfortunately, there's a lot of people claiming to be things out there. We all know that, you know, in the paranormal field especially. And unfortunately, you know, these people are exercising these, you know, clients that are claiming to be demonically possessed when they actually have some form of mental illness, and they're making their psychosis actually go deeper.
Yeah.
And they're making them worse.
How do you tell the difference between a demonic possession and a mental illness? What are some signs that you look for?
Well, okay, one of the things you're going to look for when you're looking for, say, schizophrenia is what they call word salad. They're going to talk very disassociative, you know. It's not all connecting, okay. With demonic entities, even when they are in, say, full possession, they're still going to make sense, okay. Even if you don't understand the language, they're still going to make sense, all right. One of the other things with schizophrenia as well is, you know, with them, they don't have an emotional base. A lot of schizophrenics, they don't have any even base. They're either one extreme or the other, or they have no feeling at all, which is unique to them.
Exactly. With a true demonic, you know, possession, I mean, they're going to know things that no one else knows about you. You know, they have like this, it's like weird, like this incredible psychic ability.
But it's not something that they showed before. It's something that happened,
right.
Boom, there it was.
Right. They're going to have like the strength of 30 men, you know, which they didn't before.
Which again, you know, to some extreme though, I am just putting this out there. Mm-hmm. You know, when a person is having a manic fit,
well,
you know, they can have those same... Well, the strength thing, they can have that as well. But, you know, the difference is with, you know, demonic entities and, you know, schizophrenia, you know, or some other mental illness, the paranormal activity will be there.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the biggest difference. That's the biggest telltale sign.
Right.
Is if the paranormal activity is actually there. You know, you'll be around them, and when...
Well, we've done so many cases where the person... wants it to be paranormal,
mm-hmm,
so badly, and you know, when we're like, you know, honey, there is no evidence of any type of paranormal. There is nothing that's backing up what you're saying. We could spend days and days and have cameras going 24/7, and
it's just not there.
It's not there.
So you know, what? And you said that you've run into seven different cases of what you believe to be actual demonic activity.
Absolutely. Out of my 21 years.
That's it.
And
that's it. Seven. No.
And in those seven, what would you say caused those demons to
Well,
to come?
All the cases were very different because I'm also an occult sciences and crimes expert. So I get a lot of calls where people are dabbling in areas that they're not educated enough in, say even summoning somebody, or somebody's making like this magic mirror and they think that, you know, they're going to open a portal or, you know, whatever the case that
they'll let their best friend through.
Yeah, you know, they're going to try to contact their friend who, you know, committed suicide, or they're going to try these crazy things. And unfortunately, they don't know how to control these entities that are coming in. So that's one of the things that makes me a little different than your typical demonologist.
Right, but either way, what they're doing there, and what everybody needs to realize what they're doing there, is they're giving invitations.
Exactly.
Okay? It's not something where they're just saying, okay, you know, I want to talk to my friend who's passed. No, they're saying, okay, come through, whoever you are, come through.
Well, it's like playing the Ouija board for an example, okay? If the Ouija board planchette is spelling out, you know, hey, I'm your mother who had passed, and you're like, wow, Mom, I really miss you. I wish I could see you again. You just opened that door for anything to come in.
Right, because you can't confirm whether or not that's actually your mother. And that's the thing that kind of stinks with the Ouija board. You know, you can't tell exactly what's coming through,
right,
or who it actually is. And
right.
So I think that's more than anything else why we tell people, you know, yeah, okay, I've never had an issue. You know, maybe for the past, I don't know, however many years, you know, I've been lucky.
Working, I mean, even Becca has experienced this. When you're truly working on a demonic case,
oh man,
there are signs. If this demonic entity is a real demonic entity, it'll stop you in so many different ways, like car accidents. You know, suddenly your cat becomes terribly ill and dies. Anything to stop you from getting to the client's house or helping the client.
Can you walk us through one of the demonic cases that you worked on, or is that confidential?
Well, we try to keep things as confidential as possible, but for instance, with that case that we were talking about earlier about the woman who was obsessed with the Ouija board.
Yes.
Every time we would talk to her, or try to talk to her on the phone, it would turn static, which, okay, yeah, maybe it's a bad, you know, phone reception or something. But with her, it was the only person we had issues with getting in touch with on the phone.
The phone just went static right there. I thought I'd point that out.
Yeah.
The phone just went
static right there,
for
right.
a second.
No, it's the cordless phone.
Yeah, this one's my cordless phone. We had actual landlines with phone cords at the time. but, you know, there's different things that you can look out for. For, like I said, for example, with that woman, it wasn't just, you know, it was just the screeching, the static on the phone. But then there was also, you know, the fact that when we tried to leave, our car wouldn't start. It was like, excuse me? You know, we had not for nothing, the car that we were taking at the time, we had gotten just inspected, and it was fine. There was nothing wrong with that car, but
it's
like bottomed out.
A lot of issues will happen.
You know?
A lot of issues.
For probably about two or three days before we actually went on site.
Her sister, don't let the witches come.
Right. You know, she did. She
weird,
told her before
stuff.
Her sister
yeah.
even told her, you know, who we were. All she said was, I have a couple of friends I want, you know, to come visit you. And her sister is Christian. Her sister is not, you know what I mean, of that type of belief system at all. But I was at the time. And, you know, Katie studies, you know, different religious beliefs and what have you. And, you know, she said, don't let the two witches come. Don't let the two witches come. And then she was...
As soon as we walked into this house, now, you know, when there's, like, a negative spirit when you're doing a case, you know, it's kind of, you know, the air is a little thick in certain areas.
Yeah.
But when we walked into this woman's home, it was literally, like, all of a sudden we were, like, under... You know, the deep end of a pool. It was like you could barely move.
And I would say, oh, well, look for the house being dirty, but that house was spotless and it smelled like crap all over it. You know, it was seriously
so
gross. And, you know, I would say, okay, again, maybe she's hoarding, maybe there's something like that, but, you know, we looked through, I think, that entire apartment.
Right.
There was no reason for that smell that we could find.
But
you know?
You have to remember, even if it's not a demonic case, you want to believe the client 100%, but you have to be very skeptical.
You do.
You know, I mean, I test the client. If they're saying, I swear I had a demonic entity, and if there's potential signs, I will test that client by the time I'm not even, well, before I'm even out of the vehicle, all the way up to when I come through that house. Now, one of the things to look for also, even on any other case, is if, look at their reading material. Look at the movies they're watching.
Definitely.
Okay, because I don't know what it is, but we've been getting a ton of cases lately where they just want to meet somebody in the paranormal because they love watching these shows.
Uh-huh.
And you're traveling 4 or 5 hours to these clients' houses, you know, and we don't charge. You know, Becca has her own psychic practice, her own business, but as Ghost Quest, we do not charge.
Right.
And Becca doesn't do readings, you know, during investigations. She just does her psychic walkthrough. But these people just want to see what, ooh, this is fun. And that's another thing.
Right, and the other thing is, too, is if you have somebody who's sitting there and saying, oh, I'm demonically, you know, possessed, and they've got the exorcist, the exorcism of Emily Rose, you know, the diary of an exorcist, you know,
or they're claiming, they have a demonic entity in their home. And I always, you know, could you please send me some pictures? I mean, I have them send me everything that they possibly think or not even could be relevant, okay, before I'm even, you know, sitting the client down in person, anything. And they're sitting there reading my Devils and Demonology book. Come on.
You know, I mean,
it happens.
There's a ton of ways to debunk it. There is. And the thing is with, like Katie keeps saying, true demonic, actual, you know, possessions, oppressions, infestations are completely freaking rare. They
right.
really are.
They happen, but they're rare.
Right. You know, but we have run across a few, you know, and a couple of them have not been of the Christian religion. We have dealt with hungry spirits, which if you think of a grudge lady, you're kind of on the right track. You know, and that's
kind
of... Where
the food goes bad and the house is spotless.
Yeah, the food goes bad. Rice will go bad in, like, a day.
And that client was of Buddhist?
Yeah,
Buddhist
she was of
faith.
The Buddhist faith.
Right.
How do you tell the difference between a demonic and say an angry human spirit or the other thing that you just mentioned, the grudge spirit or something like that? Like, what's the?
It's all in the signs. With most demonic entities, they follow a certain pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like
spontaneous fires.
Well, yeah.
They try to isolate the individual. They first want to make you kind of feel like you're going crazy. You'll kind of like, you can't really say 100%, you know, like, ooh, the shadow's out of the corner of your eyes, because spirits can do that also. When large objects are teleported and they end up in a different room, that's a sure sign of a demonic entity.
Right.
Like when a negative spirit will, say, slide your refrigerator over a little.
Right, but the thing is demonic entities have a certain pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Spirits, they just do whatever the heck they please, seriously. Hungry spirits have a certain pattern as well, okay? If you go back and you study most of the religious texts, or you go back and you look at, you know, the legends and myths surrounding most of these entities, and again, you know, that's what a demonologist is. That's what they do.
It's the well, you have to remember, demonology is what? The study of.
That's it.
When so many people come to me and they want to learn how do I become a demonologist? You know, there's no such thing as a demonologist being certified. Okay? There is no such thing. Okay? Now, the thing is, what I tell people is, firstly, you got to build your foundation of knowledge. You got to start studying all the different religions out there. Study the different entities in the different cultures.
And make sure you get some sort of
medical
input
background
from a psychologist.
Yep.
Take some classes in the medical field. You know,
medical terminology is really awesome to know.
Right. But the thing is you need to make sure, because every time that you step into a client's home,
mm-hmm.
you're putting yourself under liability.
Huge.
okay? Because every time you step into the client's home, and that includes as a paranormal investigator as well.
Yeah.
You know, you need to be really aware of that because you're not just dealing with, you know, an inn, you know? You're dealing with somebody's home, especially when you do private investigations. So you go in there and you say to them, you know, the house is haunted, whatever, 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 and then they go ahead and they sell their house, and then they sue you for whatever reason, you know, because the house didn't sell and they lost money or whatever, you know. Guess what? You're the one that made the claim. Mm-hmm. You're responsible.
So, as a paranormal investigator, I kind of backtracking to the Ouija board, you say that the Ouija board is bad and opens up. As a paranormal investigator, what is it that they do differently with EVP sessions that isn't opening up that door as badly?
Well, they actually, you know, it's funny. They, with paranormal investigators, when they do EVPs, you know, it isn't that much different than doing, you know, a Ouija board. It's really not. I don't know if it's because it's not as direct or what. I personally, and this is Becca, I can't really answer that.
We're telling the spirit, you know, everybody who does, we do EVP sessions, you know, we're telling the spirits, hey, whoever's here, feel free to talk into this, you know, into the recorder. Feel free to, you know, move this object that we put down for you, or, you know, show us a sign, drain the batteries, do this, do this, do this.
So is it because we're nicer, so to speak?
It could very well be. What? You know, I think it's in how you ask, you know, and your phrasing of things.
Listen, the best EVPs is when you're just shooting the crap. You know what I mean?
When you're shooting the breeze, yeah.
When you're just talking away, that is the best time to get EVPs.
Yeah.
If you're just sitting there quiet and you're waiting for something, most likely the spirit's standing there kind of laughing at you. You know, because, I mean, you know, I mean, working with Becca for so many years, you know, I'm like, well, where is the spirit, Becca? She's like, the man or the woman or whoever it is or the child is standing here and they're saying, you know, I'm not a pet in a zoo and I'm not going to do stuff on command for you.
That only happened like once or twice, mind you, and it was at places that had already been kind of investigated to death.
Right. If it's a place that has never, you know, had a psychic medium go through, they talk a storm. I mean, these spirits love to talk because when did they ever really get to chat and have their story heard?
Right. But I think that the danger in EVP, I think, is equal, but I think that it's in the way that we call out. We're not inviting them in. You know, you're not saying to this spirit,
right.
You know, you're saying, I'd love to see you manifest. I'd love to see you move something. I'd love to see you do something. But you're not saying, I'd love for you to be here, you know, with me, as a part of me, you know, which is the invitation that the demonic entity is looking for. You know, but when you do call out like that, you are putting yourself in a little bit of danger. The other thing is, too, is attitude. If you go in there with some form of skepticism, it's odd. It's almost like its own little protection. You know, you will never see an atheist possessed. I'm sorry, you won't. It's not going to happen. I'd love to see an atheist get possessed. I think that would be, you know, the funniest, most contradictory thing that ever happened to that person.
Well,
you
the
know?
Power of faith is huge, too.
It is. It is. And so for a lot of these people, you know, they're opening up their minds and their souls and their will to this energy. You know,
as a medium? As a medium, do you feel you kind of help bring them in and kind of help open the door because of your communication with them as well?
What, the demonic entities?
Or any spirit, for that matter.
Well, I think as a psychic medium, you know, it benefits the teams to have one. You know, I think that being a psychic medium, yes, it helps to give them a voice. I don't know that it's always helpful to be on. See, the thing is when I do my walkthrough, after my walkthrough is done, I'm done. I'm not a medium anymore. You know, I'm an investigator. I cut that off. Because one of the things is if spirit's going to communicate, are they going to want to communicate through an EVP recorder, or are they going to want to communicate through somebody who can hear them and talk to them? You know? And so it can be both a positive and a negative. If you have, mediums who are on all the time during your investigation, granted, you probably get some great information, and, you know, you may
probably
get some...
Probably not the great EVPs.
Right, but probably not the great EVPs. You may get some
really, really good information, but, you know, it's not necessarily going to kick everything up for you, although sometimes it can. Sometimes it can. I've been on investigations before where, you know,
stirred up the activity being on.
I stirred up the activity being on, but that's something we're trying to figure out, too. So I'll do some cases where I'm off, some cases where I'm on. You know what I mean? We'll test the field around that because we want to find out exactly what, you know, a medium's role in the paranormal should be beyond just doing a walkthrough. We want to find out how does, you know, the psychic influence the haunting.
Right.
You know, that's one of the things that we're big on, and that's what we use a lot of our free time, you know, partially to figure out, aside from all our other little pursuits, you know, as far as research goes and hypothesis.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a question that just popped up in the chat room wondering about the smell of demons. I know that they're known to have a very foul smell. Do you know, any reason why?
Yeah, not every case, though. Not every demonic case has, you know, foul smells or, you know, strong smell of sulfur. Kind of like with spirits, sometimes it can be flowers. If you're starting to smell like perfume, then you know it's probably a relative or a spirit that's around. But right. Not every case or demonic case is going to have those foul smells.
Right, and it's interesting because usually with the real foul smells, that comes around, you know, infestation. That's after the invitation phase.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's when things are getting a little bit more intense. Actually, infestation can commonly be misconstrued for a natural spirit haunting, for
right.
regular spirit haunting.
Oppression is when the entities do not care if they're noticed now.
Right. You know, that's when the poop kind of starts to hit the fan.
Exactly.
And things start to go haywire. So, you know, you're going to notice the smell probably around, like, mid to end of the infestation and the beginning of the oppression.
But it doesn't happen on all the cases.
Right. And it's not always going to be a strong, constant odor. You know, it's not something that's always right there. You know, especially in the beginning, you know, during that infestation, you know, beginning oppression, you know, it's going to be something that wafts. And if they want to hide, they're going to. You know, if they don't want to, if they don't want you noticing them, they'll make sure that you don't notice them.
So you're saying these stages, like what are the stages of a demonic, I guess, haunting?
Like, okay, this is their little playbook. It's invitation.
And can you explain, like, Ouija board and
that's when you bring them in, you know. That's when you invite them in. There's invitation, infestation. Okay, so you've got a demonic entity in there. Well, now he's saying, you know what, come on, friends, let's go play. You know, this place is open. Open for business. Then there's oppression. Okay, and you know, during infestation they're really starting to make you feel crazy. Like we were saying, you know, that's when it's more like a spirit haunting, okay? It's going to be little things here and there. Oppression comes next, okay? And that's when, like I said, the crap kind of hits the fan a little bit. That's when the bigger stuff starts to happen, the fires in the kitchen. The fires, spontaneous fires,
larger objects being teleported into other areas. Garbage is being dumped everywhere. You know, your couches in your bed when you wake up in the morning. The activity gets highly severe.
And very crazy. And then after that is possession. You know, but basically those are the stages of how a demonic entity tries to break down the will. You know, but that's...
They keep you up all night, all day, all night. Mm-hmm. They try to cut off your communication. Mm-hmm. You know, the telephone, they can call you. You can't call out. You know, you get into car accidents. They make you sick. You can't leave the house. Your animals start dropping dead for no apparent reason.
So what's the...
These are all things that will happen in a short amount of time. It's not something that... You know, possessions and oppressions can go on for years, but, you know, it's one thing right after the other, after the other, after the other. It's not like it's, oh, well, you know... My cat died last year, and I got in a car accident the year after. No,
It's stuff. My cat died last month. I got in a car accident this month. Da, 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 da. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's very close together. Because they're trying to basically destroy, you know, your life. And it's not that they'll just go after you. They'll go after your loved ones, too. You know, because they want to keep you divided.
Mm-hmm. I once heard their ultimate goal is to make you commit suicide. Is that right?
That's part of it. Yeah, they want what you have. They want your will.
Exactly. They want your will. I don't really believe the suicide part. You know, we've dealt with so many cases where people go crazy, whether mental illness or, you know, psychological or spirit attachments, where the spirit is, you know, putting their feelings onto that person. And they feel, I can't take it anymore, I have to kill myself. I wouldn't necessarily, and this is just me, Katie, saying it, but I don't really believe the ultimate goal is to make you commit suicide. That is in different, you know, religious beliefs. I totally respect everybody's religion and their beliefs. But on a demonologist side, I just don't really see that a lot.
Right. So, do you see an ultimate goal of the demon?
Well, see, the thing is one of the things that they will do, and part of the reason, okay, if you think of it like, you know, a mass murderer trying to, you know, up the body count. By the time that it gets to the point where it's possession, okay, which is
very, very rare,
but that's part of their ultimate goal,
right.
Is the possession, and that's because they want not just you, they want the people that you're connected with. They want, you know, as many people as they can get, you know, they want to kill a bunch of birds with one stone. And so, you know, one of the things that, you know, with an entity like this, you know, if it's not suicide, it's murder. You know, they're going to have you end in a violent way that will break one of the laws of your religion, so that they can take you, you know, so that you can be a part of them. And they can, you know, keep up in their body count, you know, and what they have underneath them. So, you know, with spirits from other religions, though, that we would technically consider demonic, you know, such as hungry spirits, you know, the way that they believe in that religion is that if you die with anger in your heart, you're going to come back basically as a demon. And so, you know, each culture, you know, their spirits, their evil entities, their negative entities, have different focuses and different goals.
Exactly.
And that's part of how we identify which, you know, religion or which type of entity this is, you know, as well as what we know about spirits in general and, you know, other entities.
So out of the 7 demonic cases you guys have seen, how many of those have actually resulted in a possession?
2. 2?
Mm-hmm. That's it. 2.
Too, but not on the severe state of possession.
Yeah,
now,
not like Annalise Michelle type stuff.
Exactly. When that happens, you know, whatever the client's belief is, we will contact, you know, say they're Jewish, we'll contact their rabbi to make the client feel more comfortable
mm-hmm.
and get an exorcism done by their rabbi or Catholic priest, you know, and so on and so on. Or, you know, if you're Wiccan, you know, you'll have a high priestess come in. Whatever your religious belief is. Because we're here to help. We are a resource. I will go to the extra length to get the help you need, whatever the situation is. And so won't Becca.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you know, so many people out there think it's really cool to be a demonologist. And you ask any demonologist out there, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, for me, I didn't choose this path. It chose me. You know, growing up in a severe haunted house, having my family torn apart, and having our local priest come in several times a month, blessing the inside of the home and the outside of the home, and, you know, tearing the family up for 19 years until I moved out, you know, in which it made my mother go crazy because she was alone in the house. I mean, it was so horrific, and, you know, I'm helping people like my family every day, I'm picking up that phone at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm trying to, you know, I am overloaded with a lot of cases, and I do try to get back to everybody as quickly as possible, but we don't churn anybody away.
Well, this is kind of a good segue to the part of the show where we're at. We're actually at the end of the show, and I'd like to extend the opportunity for you guys to throw out any websites or events or anything that you have out there that you want our listeners to hear about.
Sure. This is Becca Boyd, and you can check me out at Becca, B-E-C-K-A-H, thepsychic.com. And I actually have a book out, Raising Indigo, Crystal, and Psychic Kids, which you can get at any Barnes & Noble's, Borders, Amazon, or anywhere else.
Right. And you can find me on katieboyd.net. I actually have a new book coming out in April called Haunted Closets, True Tales of the Boogeyman. I actually go in-depth about growing up in a severe haunted house and what my family went through and the boogeyman that I actually dealt with and true cases, sleep disorders. I cover everything in that book. And our paranormal group, ghostquest.org.
Hey, don't forget about the book that brought us here, Devils and Demonology in the 21st Century.
Right.
Devils and Demonology in the 21st Century. You can get that again at any Amazon, Barnes & Noble's booksellers nearby.
Real quick, I had a question for Becca. The Psychic Kids book, I've heard a lot about that. What exactly is that? Is that about learning whether or not your kids have psychic abilities when they're young?
It is. It is. It's actually, you know, because I grew up as a medium, you know, I had a lot of benefits because my family was gifted and everybody knew how to nurture it. So basically what I did was I took everything that I knew and I put it in this book. It has tests in there. It has, you know, different things that you can do with your kids to see whether or not they actually have the ability, and if not, you know, or how to work with them on it, whichever way you decide to go. It talks about the ramifications of stomping it out of them. It talks about the ramifications of keeping them open. So, yeah, it has everything in there about raising gifts to kids.
Okay. Cool.
Well, I want to thank you guys so much for coming on the show. You were great guests.
Thank you.
Very interesting.
And you talked enough to make my job easy, just sitting here and listening to you talk.
I know, right? You do that an awful lot.
Well, if anybody has questions, feel free to email us.
Definitely. You know. Definitely do. And thank you again for having us on there. It was wonderful.
Yes, thank you.
No problem. Thank you. It was an honor to have you on. You have a great night.
Good night. Bye.
All right.
That was a very interesting conversation. I like demon talk.
Do you?
I do. I like learning about demons. I don't know why.
So did anyone get the trivia question?
Yes, Mom did.
All right. Our,
going to have, she's going to have to give us a commercial.
Should we go to commercials now, speaking of which, and then we will come back and close out the show?
Sure. So, yeah, you've been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Every Saturday night on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network, Paratrinity Radio, your hosts Mike and Ellie delve into the controversial subject of religion versus the paranormal. Tune in Saturday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Paratrinity Radio, where nothing is sacred, on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Are you experiencing strange noises? Seeing shadows and no one's there? Have an uneasy feeling in your own home? These may be signs of paranormal activity. Cincinnati Area Paranormal Existence Research, CAPER as we're also known as, provides free consultations and investigations. With over 30 years combined experience, CAPER can help you find the answers. For more information, give us a call, at 513-407-4242. You are not alone. We can help. To help you learn more about paranormal activity, check us out on the web at caper.pararesearch.org.
Hi, this is Shannon Sylvia from Ghost Hunters International and now the new Shantown Show on Para X Vision. And you're listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk. Enjoy the show, guys.
All right, and we are back. And speaking of Caper, we have an event to mention with them.
That we're not going to make it to.
That we won't make it to, yes. On April 17th, they are having their six-year anniversary party at the Miami Town Town Hall here in Miami Town, obviously. They are going to... You tell them about it. You know more than I do. You were at the past three meetings. I wasn't.
Well, there's going to be programs. They're going to talk about ghost hunting, talk about themselves. I think there'll be door prizes, and I think at the end they're going to have a little investigation over in the local cemetery there. It should be a good time.
It's free, right?
Yes, it is free.
Free to the public.
Yeah, you may have to buy something for the door prizes, like raffle tickets or something like that. I'm not sure exactly how that works.
Right.
But, yes, free admission. Go, have a great time. Yay, Caper.
Yes, exactly. And then we have another... presentation coming up that's not worth mentioning because no one else is invited. It's a private thing with the church. So I'll leave it at that. And next week on Miami Town Ghost Talk, we will be talking to our good friends from SOAR, Southern Ohio Apparition Researchers.
Southern Ohio Apparition... Oh, I've forgotten now.
I've ruined it.
I think I got their card in my wallet. I'm actually going to check that right now while we're...
But it's that group called SOAR. Melinda.
I really like them. I really do.
Definitely. We've seen them at several different conventions that we've been to, and they are very nice, great people, and I think it's Melinda and Nick that are going to be on the show talking to us. A techie dude and... I think case manager, maybe? The lead investigator? I don't know.
I like them all. They are genuinely, like, nice. I don't know how to explain it, but they... I can't say enough good things about SOAR.
Yes. And then on May 15th, I think it is? Yeah, May 15th. I don't think you're going, but there is a... charity event being held by went right out of my head. OVPRI, that group, and it's a charity event. They're calling it PACE, Paranormal Awareness, blah blah, charity event.
Paranormal Awareness. What a great concept.
Yes, it's May 15th, and it's going to be us, at least me. I'm still assuming you're not going because of work.
I have to be in California.
Yeah, you're going to be out of the
that weekend.
State. It'll be us, NKYPS, Tri-State Paranormal, Bishop James Long, OBPRI, and more. Those are all the ones I know. And Craps. Craps will be there. And so if you want information on that, go to the OVPRI website. Just go to Google. I don't know it, so I can't tell you. But I'm sure you can find it in Google real quick.
All right. So I think we've gotten to that.
So what does SOAR stand for? Is it research or researchers?
I stopped looking for my business card. I apologize. Right. I think they even wrote me a blurb for the book. I can probably find that in a second.
I have that too.
Well, I'll bring it up and we'll find out what SOAR stands for.
We need to say the right name before we hang up, before we get off the air.
But we've already reached that point where we've become dangerously boring.
So, if we're that boring, they can all leave, and then we'll just stop the show.
But WebGuy has made us a great new outro, and we need to have them stick around for that, or all of WebGuy's...
Pilot apparition researchers.
Then why was I bringing it up if you were going to bring it up and tell everybody and take my thunder?
As I told you, I was going to look.
No, you told me that I should know, and you told me to look it up.
I thought you were looking up in your wallet before.
Even well, I was, guide. And now I'm bringing up the...
Crystal knew it. Everyone knew it in the chat room.
They probably all looked it up on the web.
Yeah, well, so did I. And then I believe the first week of April, we're changing our day and time of the show. My impression is we're going to Tuesdays at 10. Same studio, but Tuesdays at 10 instead of Mondays at 10. So be prepared, everyone. But that's not until April. That's not next week. Come back next week on Monday, not to confuse everyone. Then we have to redo our outro again, don't we?
I don't know. I didn't even listen to it, to tell the truth. It could be terrible. There could be cussing. I'll keep my finger on the disconnect button and make use of that 30-second delay.
Yes. But yes, now I think we are getting dangerously boring, so we can go now if you want it.
Well, I thought I was getting kind of funny. Okay, we'll leave. Goodbye, everyone.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. It's been wonderful. And have a good night.
And you've been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
Jeff and Mike from Miami Town Ghost Talk at ASPRN, All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Hi, this is Katie. Thanks for listening to my daddy. You rule.